You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Doing the Most by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Look at this. It says, verse 8, the second part says she was given the best of what she had. I don't have a boat to give you like Peter. I don't have a grave that I can loan you like Joseph. Oh, glory to God. I don't have a robe that I can give you. I don't have a crown that I can give you. I don't have jewelry that I have. But I went through my house. And I said, let me find the best of the best that I had. It may not even be much of somebody else, but it's the best that I had. And Jesus said in the 8th verse, she had done what she could. My God. Y'all don't catch that. Said she's done what she could. Maybe she can't give money like somebody else, but she can worship like she can. Oh, glory to God. Maybe they don't have all the time like other people, but she did what she could. All God is expecting you to do is give him the best praise that you can. Give him the best offering that you can. Look, somebody say, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to do what I can. Stop comparing yourself to everybody. I'm going to do the best that I can. The Bible says she did what she could. This was the best she had. Maybe this was her retirement. Ooh, Jesus. Maybe this was her retirement offering. Maybe this was her child's college fund offering. But she said, while I'm in the presence of Jesus, I'm going to give him the best that she had, that I have. Number three, this woman was doing the most. In John 12, gives us a name. Talks about Mary. She was doing the most because she had experienced the resurrection power of Jesus. Passing verse there in John 12. Sorry, in verse 1. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. 6 days before he's getting ready to be persecuted and prosecuted and crucified. 6 days before Passover, he came to Bethany. Look at this. Where Lazarus was, which had been dead. Bible redundant, trying to let you get the point. Where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom Jesus raised from the dead. Now, he wasn't play dead. He was dead for real. Lazarus, which had been dead. When's the last time you ate with somebody which had been dead? They there sitting having dinner with the man who had been dead. There they made him a supper. Jesus often ate at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house. They were siblings. Remember, we know that because Jesus had went there often, and which is why Mary and Martha got mad when he sent for him. When he said, my brother's sick, and he waited. Oh, you didn't wait when I fried that chicken. Oh, when you was hungry, it didn't take you no time to get here. You was here on time for dinner time, and now my brother said you can't show up. What's up with that, Jesus? And so now Lazarus had been dead, verse 2, and they made him a supper. Mary and Martha served. And Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Can you imagine anybody sitting at the table? He eating just like he ain't never been dead. He drinking that Kool-Aid just like he ain't never been dead. I ain't never seen a man who was dead drink Kool-Aid before. But then Mary, give her a name. Pulled out a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped with his feet with the hair. And now John gives more detail. It was Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, the one who's going to betray him, that one. He said, why was this ointment not spent? So I sold and given to the poor. But what I want you to see here, her sins are forgiven. Given the best she had, but she had experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. She was grateful that her brother's dead. Her brother, which was dead, is now alive. Sometimes, some of us, you need to give God praise for that prayer he answered for your family member. For that brother, for that sister. Come on. You was all right, but you know they wasn't serving God, but because of your prayer, God had mercy on them. because of your prayer, he spared your brother, spared your sister, got your child out of jail who deserved to be under the prison. But because you prayed, because you sowed a seed, because of your faithfulness to God, oh, they were blessed vicariously through you. If you're saved, if you're born again, you have personal experience with the resurrection power of Jesus. Ephesians 5:5-1, it says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He drops down to verse 5 and says, even when we were dead in sin, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Every time you think about you shouldn't give God praise, you ought to think about, I was dead, but thank God I'm now alive. I thought I was alive, but I was a living dead. I was a walking mummy, but I didn't know. I wasn't fit to live. I wasn't ready to die. And I thought everything was all right. I was partying, but I was dead. I was sleeping with this one, sleeping with that one, but I was dead. I was drinking, but I was dead. I was getting high, but I was dead. And I didn't really know life until I met the giver of life. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now you got everlasting life on the inside of you. You ought to thank God that you were dead, but now you're alive. Somebody say, I'm glad to be alive. Glory to God. In Acts 3, just before I get ready to close this, we read about somebody else who was doing the most in Acts 3. In Acts 3, 6 through 9, Peter and John, they're going into the temple early in the morning to pray, as was their custom. Man was there begging as he always did. He figured this is the best place to beg because people go to church used to giving. This is the best place to go to beg. And so he comes to Peter and John and asks them for something, and they said, silver and gold have I none. I really believe that means they don't have no money on them. But such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, I got to set this up. This was a man who was lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked. Are y'all listening to me? He used to walk, not he lost the activities of his limb, not he's now a paraplegic or a quadriplegic as a result of a spinal cord injury. This man has lived his whole life watching people do what he was never capable of doing. Needing somebody who is benevolent enough to take him somewhere and carry him somewhere. And most likely they took him every day to the temple. But Peter takes him by the hand, lifts him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones receive strength. Oh my goodness. Now you can say what you want, but the man went into church doing the most. Verse 8 says, and he leaped up, stood and walked with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, y'all know this ain't how we do it at the synagogue. This man walking, hey, hallelujah, woo, woo, yeah. He's walking and leaping and praising God. This is not a charismatic church. Y'all ain't hearing me here. This is not a spirit-filled church. This is not a non-denomination. This is the Jewish people who have high church, who chant, sing the old hymns of Zion, sing anthems. If somebody do get ready to clap, they look at you. That's how they did in the church that I came up in. They did. You can't. Where you think you at? This is not that kind of church. And I don't know where they were in the service. I don't know if the choir had already marched to Zion. I don't know if they had already come this far by faith. I don't know if the scripture was being read. I don't know if the deacon was praying yet. But the man walked in the church, into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! He was doing the most. Sometimes, and there is an order. There's an order to things. But I do understand that when God done something for you that you never saw happening before, when God liberates you and you don't have to depend on other people no more, when God give you strength you never thought you would have, enable you to live a life you never thought you would live, oh my God, enable you to get out of debt that you thought you won't die with, oh, take care of children that you used to pray about how they're going to eat. When God does that kind of stuff for you, I understand if you leap. I understand if you jump. I understand if you run. I understand if you shout. Sometimes we got to stop the order and change the order, because praise is the order right now. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. He was doing the most. Now, I'm sure the folks will look at him. He's doing the most. It don't take all that. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know no doctor could cure me. You don't know, I never thought this would happen. I thought I'd be a beggar all my life, but just a minute ago. I thought I'd be a beggar all my life, but in 1 minute, in a twinkling of an eye, God turned my life around. I got to do the most. I got to give the Most High the most praise. I got to give the Most High the most praise. I'm almost finished. Let me close with one more biblical example of somebody who is known for doing the most. 2 Samuel 6 chapter verse 14. The Ark of the Covenant. They had tried to bring it back to Jerusalem, but two men touched it who should not have touched it. They fell dead. Now everybody's scared to touch it. So it ended up staying in this place in whose house was it? Yeah, that's it. Obed-Edom. The ark ends up staying in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. That was the best three months of Obed-Edom's life, just by accident. Oh, come on. God ever give you a blessing you wasn't expecting? You wasn't even praying for. Happened to be at the right place at the right time. Obed-Edom had favor. For 3 months, everything started working. For 3 months, he had flow and overflow. For 3 months, everybody that came into his house experienced the power and the presence of God. David finally sends them 3 months later to get the ark. The ark, if you allow me to say, it was a chest that the commandments were kept in. And it represented literally the presence of God. And so if the ark wasn't there, the presence wasn't there. So they went back to get the presence of the Lord. If you ever had the presence and don't have the presence anymore, you know the difference. If you ever had the anointing and don't have the anointing anymore, you know the difference. Come on now. If you ever felt the Spirit of God but no longer feel the Spirit of God, you know what I'm talking about. That's why David cried once and said, Lord, whatever you do, don't take your spirit away from me. So they get the ark back. And when they set the ark back in its place, 2 Samuel 6, verse 14, David danced before the Lord. If you got a Bible, you can highlight. You need to highlight that part. Who did he dance before? He danced before the Lord. Uh-oh. This was not no dignified dance, y'all. With all his might. Lord, here go another one. Doing the most. Now, you ain't supposed to dance like that in church. When we went to Ghana, I saw what it is to really dance with all your might. Some of y'all have seen the little clips on Facebook and all that. I mean, the brothers who dance, they dance and flipping over and all that kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, the sisters in the church that we went to, they had, Beyonce had nothing on them. I didn't know it was legal, lawful, spiritual. Should be done under heaven and on top of God's green earth. Those sisters got down And Pastor Mark could tell you, they would pull their dresses up like this, and they would go in, y'all. They would go in. Are y'all hearing me here? With all their might, I can picture David. The robe came off. His kingly garments came off. The crown became a boomerang. And he's dancing with all his might. Look, and he was girded with the linen ephod, which means he no longer had, this was private, priestly garments. The rest of his clothes was off. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal. Now, Michal had been raised as a princess. Michal was the first king's daughter. She was a prize for David as a result of killing Goliath. She didn't even ask to marry this man if I knew he was that undignified. See, Michal was raised in the palace. Michal knew how to act. She knew how to talk. She knew how to bow. She knew how to curtsy. She knew etiquette. She knew which knife to use and which fork to use and when to use it and which plate to use. And David had to sit there and watch everybody else. Then he said, you go first. David didn't have the class she had. And so she felt, and Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window. I can just see her saying, oh my God. I'm ashamed to tell anyone that's my husband. And she saw now King David leaping. Woo! And dancing. Hey! The ark is back. Hey! The ark is back. Dancing and leaping before the king. And she despised him in her heart. Sounds like the Pharisees had indignation in themselves. She looked down on him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord. They set it in a place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched. Now David blessed everybody in the kingdom. He gave everybody a turkey. He gave everybody a meal. He gave everybody some bread and some wine. The whole country was rejoicing. And the Bible said then he came in to bless his house. He came in thinking his wife going to be happy. He's planning on picking her up and spinning her around and dancing with her. And when he came into the house, the wife said, how glorious, verse 20, was the king of Israel today. Oh, you just carrying on today. As one of the vain fellows, shamelessly uncovering himself. You act like you don't know who you are. You act like you have no education. You act like you don't live in the palace. You acting like those storefront Pentecostal people. Jerking and running and speaking in tongues and slobbing and running around the church and all this carrying on. You acting like one of the shamelessly vain. Vain means low class people. You acting like a street Negro. Verse 21. And David said unto Michal, here, I want you to see one thing. It was before the Lord. It was what? You ain't got nothing to do with this. I wasn't doing this so you could look at me. I wasn't doing this to impress you. Nor was I doing this with you in mind. If you didn't like the way I prayed, you should have stopped looking out the window. turn your head. It's just like when I speak in tongues. You can get mad. Well, what's all that? This ain't for you. It's for the Lord. This between me and the Lord. He said, you can look at me all you want, but I got something to praise God for. He said, now you made me think. First, I was just praising God that he brought the ark back. But now you're making me think, why would I get so wild? Why would I carry on like that? He said, now I just remembered. So when I look at you, girl, I realize God chose me over your father. See, you made me have to go there. Now I got to talk about your daddy. See, if you didn't despise my praise, didn't have to go there. But God chose me over your father. Your father was rejected, but I was accepted. Sometimes you ought to look over your life and say, God chose me. It wasn't any goodness of mine. It was a favor of God. He said, God chose me over your father and over all his house. Your brothers and sisters, where they at? Where they at? Ain't none of them here. Ah, I'm the captain now. I'm the captain now. I'm the king now. God raised me up and set me in heavenly places. And that's why I give God praise. He appointed me to rule over the people of the Lord. Therefore, he said, I will play before the Lord. I like that. I like that. He said, I'll play before the Lord. Somebody talking about they just playing with God. He said, yep, I will play. Hallelujah. I will play before. I'm going to have fun in the presence of God. Some of y'all don't know. When you dance, you don't have to be. Put a smile on your face. Play before the Lord. I will dance before the Lord with a smile on my face. Because when I think, I'm about to end this thing, of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for raising me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for cleansing me. Oh my God, let me finish this last verse. But verse 22, he said, you think that praise? You think you upset about that praise? Verse 22 says, I will yet be more vile than this. You think I did the most? I'm about to do the mostest. I'm about to take my praise to another level. When you forget about people and you forget about being dignified, when you forget about what people won't say, when you forget about your education, when you forget about your denominational background, a praise can come out. That's a pure, unadulterated praise of thanksgiving, of adoration, because God's been good to me. God kept me alive. God fed me. God provided for me. God brought me out. And when I think about it, I got to praise. I try to stand still. I try to act dignified. But my feet get to moving. But my... my hands get to moving. I try to stand there with my neck straight, but my neck get to bobbling. I try to stand in one place, but I find myself moving. I try to look in one direction, but I think about that every time I turn around, the Lord keep making a way for me, and I got to praise. I got to give him the most. I got to give him the most because he done the most for me. I got to give him the most because he brought me out. I got to give him the most because he's the most high God and he deserves all my praise and he deserves all my worship and he deserves all my
God has already done so much for us. Giving him praise is the least we can do. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that when it comes to giving thanks, we should always do the most to show our gratefulness to a great God. Order this CD-DVD combination today for a love gift of $15 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Doing the Most.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.